Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Yes, give it up for all the moms in the house. Happy Mother's Day. So glad that you are with us today. And we got to talk about, you know, the men's retreat, because if husbands are good, moms, you love that, right? That's right, that's right. So it is a very exact price, so I'm glad Allie noticed that. But there's a registration processing fee. I just thought I'd throw it all up there. So anyways, so glad to be with you today. Shout out for Maddie, by the way, with Living Streams. She's a part of that church and came down. Ryan and Carissa are at a marriage retreat, so we're happy that they are taking some time and enjoying their marriage. And geez, Jen did such a great job. I feel like I got off the hook. Like, I can just quit preaching today. That was good. God loves you. So anyways, we are very happy here. And I can't go on. This is a great thing about being the pastor, is you get the mic. So you have all the attention. So now I can brag about my mama, Edie. She is absolutely wonderful. Give it up for Edie. I appreciate you so much. You have loved our family and our kids. They absolutely adore you. And I'm so glad that I got to be in your family. So thank you for that. And shout out to my wife, Susie, who's actually mothering all of your kids in kids' church right now. But my very favorite mother, Susie. So happy for her. There's things that she just amazes me with. Like, I'm not exactly sure how to handle this parenting moment, and then she'll just come up with something that's so brilliant, and I wish I videoed it. And all I have to say is I just look at my kids, and I'm like, what your mom said, that's right. I just don't know, like, all of her training, her teaching thing, she blows me away. So I am very happy that my kids have such a great mother. Today we're going to talk about some mothers in the Bible, in the book of Ruth. We've kind of been in a series about how God redeems us, how God makes us new. And so today we're going to talk about two specific mothers. We're going to talk about the mother of Naomi and also her daughter-in-law, Ruth. What's interesting about Naomi is she had several different facets of motherhood. She was a mother, she was married, and then she lost her husband, she became a widow. She was a mother-in-law, and then she lost her children, and she became childless. So she had all sorts of different stages in her life as a mother. And for some of you, you might have your kids with you, everything is going well. You might be in that sweet target range of your kids as far as parenting. But I think for some of us, we are probably lonely. We wish our kids were here with us, that they weren't living all around the United States, or maybe you've had some children that you've lost. Maybe you're going through some tragedy. I think this story will help encourage you, because there's a couple things that Naomi did that we'll find out in her story that might be a blessing and might help you with some guidance. And so, as mothers here, I just want to honor you. You may be a grandmother. You may be raising your biological children, or you may be a mother to children who are not your biological children. You may be a widow, you may be, have never been married, you maybe have lost children, or maybe you're just overwhelmed with the stage of parenting and your kids. I am so glad you're here, and I just pray that God's love would just wrap you up and that you would feel how special that God thinks that you are. And so today I want to point to the fact that we all need a redeemer. That's the story of Ruth. There's three characters that we're going to be studying. Number one was Ruth. She was the daughter-in-law. And then the mom was Naomi. And then Boaz was the redeemer. And as we walk through this, no matter how great things are or how much in tragedy you are, Boaz plays the part of the family redeemer. And that's who we have in Jesus Christ. No matter where you are in life, we get to the point where we are like, I can't make this fit. This is not working out. This was not my plan A. Isn't it great to have a plan A? It's like you're young and you're like, this is how my life is going to go. And I'm just like, man, I was so discouraged. I'm just like, plan A never works out. I mean, I know sometimes it does, but geez, plan A is just elusive. But the point of it is I feel like God is so big and he's made himself so majestic that we cannot figure out him. We can't put him in a box and we can't put our life out and map it perfectly. And so we need a redeemer today. And that's what I want you to turn your focus on. Let's go ahead and kick off the book of Ruth in chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3 through 5. Here's kind of the backdrop of Naomi's story. Her husband, Elimelech, he died and he left her two sons. And they married Moabite women. One was named Orpah and the other one was named Ruth. After they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Naomi had lost her husband, lost her two sons. This was a huge deal in this culture. Being childless as well as a widow was just catastrophic. In that day of, in that culture, the children were kind of tasked with caring for their aging parents. So not only was she a widow, that would have been one thing, but to lose her children, that was like her social security. That was like her pension, her 401k, her Medicare. All of that is lost. She's broken now in a foreign land without children and without a husband. And this was a big deal, and I think it's just hard for parents who lose children. There's such a painful grief that scars the heart when that happens. And the reality of this book is not a story or a parable. This is actually a documentary. This is Ruth and Naomi's story. And there was nothing... it was just a very difficult time. If you were a widow, you would either have to kind of beg or get involved in a provocative life that would be very ungodly, and so she really had very few options. So she decides to go back to her homeland, and there in verse 20, she becomes very bitter, and she says this. She meets her friends, they're excited to see her, and they say, Naomi, and she says, do not call me Naomi. She says, call me Myra, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. And so that word Myra translates to bitter. It's such a huge shift from her original name, because Naomi, her original name, was pleasant. It was lovely and delightful. That's what her name meant. And I imagine that's what her personality and her aura was. It was lovely. It was pleasant. But then life happened. Tragedy struck. And she found herself broken. The world that she thought she had is turned upside down. And we talked about last week different parts in life, different circumstances that kind of label you. We talked about Joseph and how he was labeled and how he shouldn't take on that identity. And in some ways, you may be here and you may feel like Naomi. You may feel bitter. You say, God, what happened? Like Jen was talking about, I don't understand. You don't get me. What's going on? You may have dealt with miscarriages or divorce and brokenness. You might be a mother here who's dealing with regret. You see how your parents have turned, or your kids have turned out, and you're like, man, I just wish I could go back, and I wish I could train them again. You may feel just discouraged. And the thing with bitterness and discouragement is it's disorienting. You don't know where your place is, and you can't figure out exactly how things work. And all the sadness casts a shadow on the good things. And so here's a couple lessons that I want to teach you from this passage that Naomi did. These are a couple good things that she did. Number one, she let people into her life, and she kept in community with others. You see, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, said, you know what, Naomi, I want to go with you. And Naomi said, that's not fair. You shouldn't be with me. I'm alone. I'm discouraged. I have nothing to offer you. But Ruth said, no, I want to go with you. It's found in verse 16. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She kind of says, okay, that's it, fine, you can go with me. And I imagine there were some times where she just kind of wanted to be alone. If you're in a bad mood, do you guys just want to be alone? Like, I just kind of want to isolate. That's how I feel sometimes. And I know it's probably not healthy. I know people are good for me. But I just kind of want to, I don't know, I just want to be alone sometimes. And I imagine that's how Naomi felt. But Ruth says, no, I will be with you. And praise the Lord for that. Because we need people. I know it might be hard to drag yourself and go to church or do a small group or get involved in the Bible study or whatever, but we need each other. We need people. So, the second lesson I want you to be mindful of is Naomi was able to see some good in her life, and she praised God for it. She didn't close the door on God. She didn't close the door in her faith. But she still praised God. Here's what happened in Ruth chapter 2, verses 19. Naomi says, hey, look, I don't have any means to support you. So her daughter-in-law Ruth says, you know what, I'm going to go out into this field, and as the harvesters are collecting, I'm going to pick up all the scraps, and I'll see if we can get some food for us. So Ruth went out there, and she had a very successful time. She was in the field of Boaz, who was one of their distant relatives, and she actually got quite a lot of harvest. And so she comes back, and Naomi, her mother-in-law, says, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place that she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. And she says this. She says, the Lord bless him. She hadn't lost her faith. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. And she added, this man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finished harvesting all of my grain. So she saw God's blessing in that time. She recognized God's blessing. And Boaz treated her so well because she saw the love that Ruth was giving to her mother-in-law, who was one of Boaz's relatives. So he told Ruth, he says, hey, look, make sure to help yourself to the water or to the food. And he even told the harvesters, hey, make sure you leave some grain, that way she can get supplied for herself. And I think this is an important part, because sometimes we just need to recognize the good that's in our life. We need to recognize that there are sunny days. This was kind of a weird week for me, if I just be transparent. We lost our dog. We had this dog for 11 years, and it's just hard because we've never had a dog like that long, and then the kids are involved, and they've just had this dog their whole life growing up. And you just experience this sadness and this loss. And I'm like, God, why is this so difficult? And then I just remember all the memories that we had. And I think, you know what? It's important to celebrate the little victories. It's important to celebrate the good things that do go your way and to give God credit for it. No matter how difficult things are or how tragedy strikes, it's important to just say, God, thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Because it's sometimes the dark days that remind you about how good the sunny days are. Except for in Phoenix when it's sunny and it's hot and you just want shade, right? It's like, I'll take a little cloud cover, Lord. Here's the third thing that Ruth did well. She was able to give advice to the next generation. She didn't go in a cave and sulk, but she gave advice. She gave advice to Ruth. Chapter 2, verse 22, she said, "It is good for you, my daughter, to go with the women and to work for them, because in somebody else's field, you might be harmed." So she says, hey, keep going to Boaz's field. And this story continues, and you can read it. I'm just kind of hitting the highlight points. But Ruth ended up going to that field, has a relationship with Boaz, and because of Naomi, the mother-in-law, she gives advice to Ruth. They end up getting married, and they have children. You see, grandmothers, mothers, your voice is important to our generation, and your voice is important to the next generation. But here's the trick. They don't know how to ask for it. Teenagers, kids, they don't know how to ask for it. But your voice has weight. Your experiences and what you've endured through life matters. And you have a great message. And I can imagine it's hard because our generation, we just want to ask Google, right? How do you do this? And an answer pops up. But there's nothing quite like somebody who helps you, who gives you advice. And I want to encourage you, find a voice. Maybe you just pray, say, God, who can I pour into? Because we're all called to disciple one another. We're all called to share our faith. That's what our whole tagline is here at Streams, is Beyond Sunday, living your life, not just attending church, but really being the church. And I'll tell you what, I got to give props to all you who help out in kids' church, you know? Here's little ears that want to hear about the stories of Jesus. The stories that you find common, they've never heard before. And you know what? There's a great group of people that says, you know what? I'll sign up for once a month, and I'll go, and I'll help out in there. We have a couple families moving, and then a couple more people. God's answering our prayers for more families to come. So right now, we have a lack. So even if you're like, I can help once a month to go in there for a couple hours and just love on some kids and teach them about Jesus. Like, that's the voice to the next generation. Where there's people that help out at youth and preteens. Like, it's so great. Maybe you could find a place to volunteer. Wherever God is leading you, be willing and open to share your voice to the next generation. So, again, what happens is Ruth marries Boaz, and this is why this is important, because Boaz becomes the family redeemer. So God really uses Boaz to really set this whole family in a whole nother level. Because if you think about Ruth, she was a foreigner. That's a challenge. Going into a culture where you don't understand, your language is a little different, and she was a widow, and she was childless. That is a person of very low social status. But what God saw is something totally different. In his economy, Ruth was treasured. She gave birth to a son, and that son became the great-grandfather of King David. Think about that. So now Ruth is in the genealogy. Is that, did I do it? Yes. Of Jesus. I mean, how would you like to be in the line of Jesus? That's pretty cool, right? Or has anybody done those like ancestry.coms? Nobody? Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, you find out you're related to some cool character in history, and like you walk a little taller and be like, yeah, I got, boom. Like, I don't know. I did that. Maybe he was a baseball player. That was it. But whatever it is, like, Ruth became a part of Jesus's history. That is pretty amazing. That is wonderful. And so, moms, I have to say that God sees you, and he isn't done with you yet. I imagine there were some dark days for Naomi and dark days for Ruth, but God saw them. And no matter where you are, we need a redeemer. We need Christ. And I want to say this, too. I just want to give you some props, moms, because I think you're doing a better job than you probably give yourself credit for. I mean, you can do all the right things. You can make sure your kids have a limited amount of screen time, that they don't eat goldfish, that they're getting exercise, that they're on the right sports clubs, all that. But I tell you what, you are doing a great job. You are doing a great job. And maybe you do have regrets, But I imagine that in the time and the seasons that you were in, you probably did the best you could do with what you had. So I imagine, I just think that God wants to give you a little grace. Because I think your voice is still important to this next generation. You are not done mothering. And I'll say this. A friend of mine, I was talking to him. He just turned 80 years old. And he has three kids. And his kids are not right with their faith the way he hoped them to be. And this hasn't been like a year or two. It's been a decade. And then another decade. It's been a long time, right? And I said, how do you deal with that? And I loved his answer. His answer was this. He says, I just keep loving them. I just keep loving them. He says, I can choose to love or I can choose to fear, but I can't mix them both. And I think as parents, sometimes we have a fear of what will happen in the future. But we are just called to love our kids, to love one another. And I'll say this too. A dangerous aspect of parenting is to futurize. Like you blow it, you make a bad choice, or you lose your temper or whatever, and then you just like futurize, and you're like, oh, I wonder if they're going to carry that memory forever, and they're going to do that, da, 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 da. You know what? Here's the thing. God is big enough to handle our mistakes. God can work out our brokenness, and he can reach your kids, because there comes a time where maybe, man, I want to communicate. I just wish I had the words to tell you how important you are or how much I love you or how I wish things turned out differently. But you have to trust God with your kids, knowing that he made them. He understands how their little brains are connected. And you can just do all that you can do and say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. Be with my children. He loves them more than you do. And he cares for them more than you do. But right now, I want you to feel God's love. I want you to feel God's grace, no matter where you are. I did do a little stats just for fun. And Mother's Day is such a huge holiday. For the flower business, it takes up 26% of their business. $3.2 billion are spent on flowers. So obviously, moms, you're doing something right, right? That's way more than Valentine's Day, by the way. It's $1 billion less for Valentine's Day because not everybody has maybe a significant other, but they do have a mom. I want to close with this video. I found it and I thought, this is such a great video. But Kevin Durant was named the NBA Most Valuable Player in 2014. So see, guys, I already have your attention, right? Like, ooh, cool, there's a sports video. But as he gives his accepted speech for this MVP award, I want you to notice what he says about his mom and how much that she meant to him. And I feel like there's probably a lot of children that would express how much more that their moms have meant to them as well. And I also love what Kevin does because he gives some great shout-outs and he recognizes the sacrifice of his other players. And so I just want you to roll this clip. It's about 5-6 minutes, but go ahead and roll it and we'll close down.
2013-14 Kia NBA Most Valuable Player, Kevin Durant.
Wow. Wow. Thank you guys so much. I'm usually good at talking, but I'm a little nervous today. First off, I'd like to thank God for changing my life. It let me really realize what life is all about. Basketball is just a platform in order for me to inspire people, and I realized that. I come from a small county outside of Washington, D.C., called PG County. And me, my mom, my brother, we moved so many different places growing up, and it felt like a box. It felt like there was no getting out. My dream was to become a rec league coach. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to stay home and help the kids out and be a coach. I love basketball so much. I love playing it. I just never thought that I could make it to college, NBA, or stand up here today in front of you guys and be an NBA MVP. It's just a surreal feeling. And I had so much help. So many people believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. So many people doubted me and motivated me every single day to be who I am. I fell so many times and got back up. I've been through the toughest times with my family, but I'm still standing. In the game of basketball, I play first off because I love it. I love to have fun. I love to run up and down the court. I told Grant Hill back there, I just got done playing against him, but as a second grader, I had a Piston Grant Hill jersey. That was the first time I walked into a gym. And that's why I fell in love with the game. My mom, I think she just wanted to get me and my brother out the house for a couple hours. But when I walked into the gym, I fell in love with the game. And I didn't fall in love with it just because it was me playing. I fell in love with it because I got guys like this. Like these guys every single day that push me to be the best player I can be. I want to single them out. Karan, even though you just got here a few months ago, you know, we've grown so close over these last few weeks. And I can remember when you first got here, you wrote a piece of paper in my locker. I don't know why I'm crying so much, man. You wrote a piece of paper in my locker and said, KD, MVP. And that's after we had lost two or three straight. And I don't really say much, you know, in those moments, but I remember that. I go home and I think about that stuff, man. When you got people behind you, you can do whatever. And I thank you, man. I appreciate you. I know you guys think I forgot Russ. But I could speak all night about Russell. An emotional guy who will run through a wall for me. And I don't take it for granted. It's days where I want to just tackle you and tell you to snap out of it sometimes, but I know it's days you want to do the same thing with me. I love you, man. I love you. A lot of people put unfair criticism on you as a player, and I'm the first to have your back, man, through it all. Just stay the person you are, man. Everybody loves you here. I love you. And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. We were stacked, the odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys by the time you were 21 years old. Everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We moved from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture. And we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
Moms, I gotta say that you are the MVP. You demonstrate Christ's love by caring for us. And I would not be on this stage if it wasn't for God's grace. But I'm a product of my mom's prayers and my grandma's prayers. I would not be here without the people behind me supporting me and praying for me. And so I just want to say, keep praying and keep loving, because your Redeemer sees you. He sees the struggle, and he's not done with it yet. And maybe you need prayer today. We have a prayer team that'll be over here. But I just want you to hear that you're loved and that your Redeemer sees you. We're going to go ahead and close in worship. You can join me. You can either sit or stand.